listening to Radio Free Cybertron. Today is, what is the date? Wednesday, December. I'm losing track of time. I almost died today. It was kind of cool. Wednesday, December 9th, 2009. I am Brian Kilby, and with me I have the usual crew, who John, JD, XV, and Rob. Is that alphabet? No, that's not alphabetical order. It's some sort of order. So, guys, how's it going?
Fantastic.
You know, Ezgo's almost dying today. Almost only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades.
It was
try
really
to get it right next time,
yeah,
Brian.
Yeah,
tell us the story real quick.
I hydroplaned for about 200 feet, and the car basically did a 360 three times in the middle of the road, and I didn't hit a thing. It was pretty cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's some dicks of hazard.
Did any of those 360s get a red ring of death?
We're talking to them, aren't we?
Yeah.
There's no towel wrapped around. Is there a towel wrapped around you,
Brian? No. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. You mentioned Dukes of Hazzard. Dukes of Hazzard is based off of apparently two people who lived here because I live in the moonshine capital of the earth.
Well, no lie.
Yeah, no lie. Famous for NASCAR and moonshine. That's it.
You'd think you'd be a more fun person that way, though.
Yeah, you would, but...
Oddly enough, my middle school was the middle school from that scene from Smokey and the Bandit where he jumped into the football field.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so we're like redneck heaven here with badass car stories.
All right, well, I think we got the theme for our next spinoff podcast.
Yeah.
Brian and Rob creating redneck stories.
Yeah, we could do that.
Yesterday,
Yeah, basically, this is like the Transformers South podcast because everyone here is at least living in the South, if not from the South.
True, I'm from Chicago.
Yeah. You're the sole one. Okay, what do we have on this week's show? We have the news.
Lots of news this week.
Yes, it's a big news week. Even bigger for AllSpark.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was so much news this week that it broke the AllSpark.
Poor AllSpark. Let's see here. Day in history news from Cybertron. A couple of topics, including our holiday buying guide, Stump Monzo, and the Gary Chalk interview. And we have Twitter Theater, which, you know, we basically usually just mention as an aside. We're really not doing anything with it. So let's go ahead and start with the news, which is brought to you by Big Bad Toy Store. Okay, the odd cassette-styled robot that popped up on the internet a while back that really no one knew what it was, it's another fan project. Yay, I guess.
Yay.
Yeah. It looks
nice. They'll be way overpriced and really underproduced,
yeah.
And it probably won't really transform into much of anything.
The great thing about the cassettes is, you know, they fit in sound wave. I mean, and they were the size of a cassette. You know, that was kind of novel. This toy doesn't look to be the size of a cassette. So,
I doubt it'll fit sound wave.
Yeah, it kind of loses its point. I don't know.
I don't know. I guess it's possible that it could make use of the common reissue Soundwave's double thick door and just take up the whole space.
You know, that's not as common as you would think because the newest Soundwave reissue does not have the double thick door.
True, but that one you have to order from Hasbro Toy Shop instead of being able to go into Toys R Us and pick it up off the shelf.
That's true, but you can't go and pick one up off the shelf now because they've not released that in 2 years.
That's very true, and actually, if I had to do over again, I would like to get the San Diego Comic-Con version because it comes with Ratbat.
You can still get it. It's on our holiday buying guide. It's like $50.
Yeah, but see, I had $50 to spend on Soundwave the first time, not again, you know.
Gotcha. Okay. Walmart.com and also in the stores, many stores, not all of them, they reduce Masterpiece Skywarp to $49. That's pretty
awesome.
And even
if that's not in a store near you, you can get site-to-store shipping for nothing.
Yeah.
And they're still overflowing like the Red Sea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have not seen a single one locally.
Wow. Really?
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
That's tough to say.
They're overflowing here.
Yeah, dozens of them here. And I bought one, and it will be under my Christmas tree.
And actually, for that matter, you know those Scout 2-packs that came out for Black Friday, allegedly? Mm-hmm. Haven't seen those either.
We have those still.
Yeah, we have those.
Yeah, we have those.
There's still more of them than Skywarps here.
Really?
The last exclusive thing I got local at Walmart was the Fear Swoop set and the universe recolors. That's the last thing I've seen local here.
I really want them to get in the electrostatic sound wave and freeway jazz at my Walmart, but they won't because there's no spot for animated.
Well, why do you even care about freeway jazz? It's not even that different.
Because he's included with electrostatic sound wave, and I want another new sound wave.
I've been seeing them.
Sure.
I've been seeing them. I just haven't owned a new Soundwave yet, but trust me, it will happen. Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's a great repaint. I have
and it comes with Rat Bat.
And it comes with Rat Bat. I have one right here in my left hand, and if someone, perhaps you, can stump Monzo, it will be yours, and more details on that later. Let's see here. Japan to get animated in March of 2010, and who was it that made the joke? Would this be new Transformers 2010?
That would be Rob.
Yeah.
It's always Rob.
Transformers Animated 2010. Of course, for those people not in the know, 2010 was the Season 3 in Japan. But
Transformer 2010.
Yeah, this is basically, it seems that it's going to be a stopgap between, you know, what they have now and what they will have after, kind of like what we
did. If they have anything after.
Yeah, that's true.
Of late, Japan has gone in some considerable stretches without any real Transformers stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. They'll probably be G1-y for a while until next movie, I pretty much imagine.
Really?
Well, I mean, they always have the G1 reissues and something G1 related, no matter. If Galaxy Force failed, guess what? There's still a reissue or Vinyl Tech or something floating around somewhere.
Yeah.
There's always Kiss Play to fall back on.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Alternative Kiss Play.
Right. Oh, God.
Yeah.
I am Prime from 1,000 alternate universes. Let's make out.
I hate Kiss Play.
I don't really care for alternative either.
Yeah.
I think they're neat, but overpriced.
Yeah.
Apparently Megatron's a great, great toy.
Yeah, but they're deluxe size for $60.
No
spank.
Yes.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same price as the Vinyl Tech toys, but you get half the toy.
Half the toy. But with Transformers animated in Japan, we're probably going to get some nifty or strange or, you know,
mostly strange, I would imagine.
Or boring black repaints. But
there is always the possibility that we'll get Voyager size Slipstream, which was the female Starscream clone.
Yeah, that would be great.
Because that's just the head remold away.
I made the joke on Twitter that we should get Waspinator repainted as Dirge Gun. And I'm like, ha ha ha, that would be funny. Then I thought, you know, that actually would be kind of cool.
I'd buy it.
Yeah, I would buy it. So, you know, if you're listening to Kara and Tomy, repaint. Of course they're listening.
Please, do me a great honor.
Yeah, it'd be a great honor if you would repaint Waspinator as Dirge Gun.
Did you guys catch the Cliff Jumper listing on there?
Yeah.
That's just the activator.
That's
though.
The activator. It's not the deluxe.
Sure?
At the price
you
point.
Can tell by the price. The deluxes are over 2,000 yen.
Yeah, yeah. So,
again, my yen calculation's bad.
Activators, Cliff Jumper is a good toy, but the deluxe Bumblebee mold sucks hard. I'm sorry. I've been saying that for the last 2 or 3 weeks, but it's true.
On the other hand, it's another potential outlet for the tail end mold, just in case not everybody can find them for whatever reason, or if some don't manage to come out.
Yeah. So if you want RC, or if you want her repainted as who, like Ariel, or any other female...
Or Paradrone Medic again.
Yeah, any random female character, you know, this is your chance. Let's see here. Transformers, this is what broke the AllSpark. Transformers War for Cybertron from Activision. Now, Activision, of course, is a huge publisher, so I have no idea who developed this game. People are thinking that this game is G1 themed. I do not have the issue of Game Informer yet, so I don't know what was actually said. But from the screen grabs or the scans, it looks like it's G1 themed. Well, you know, we got a G1 game back a few years ago on the PS2, and it sucked, like bad.
Well, that was just in Japan, though.
Oh, I have it.
Yes, but I mean, it was not released here.
Yeah, for good reason, it sucked.
Yes, I'm just... Never mind.
So did anyone else actually look at that or read that?
I didn't get just a chance to before the AllSpark collapsed.
I saw the image, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, everybody's excited. I don't know. There's not a lot to be excited about at this point, but I mean, from what little we've seen, it looks nice.
It's kind of like 10 years ago when any bit of Transformers news, you know, excited us. You know, the thought of a Transformers game was such huge news. Now we've had several Transformers games, and we've not
remember
had several.
10 years ago when everybody was excited over Beast Wars Transmetals on the PlayStation?
I was excited when I got it off of JD.
Yeah. I was excited every time
I
rented
excited?
It. I've not actually played it since I got it from you.
I actually
just keep it that way.
Yeah.
Just go with that.
Really, in a fit of nostalgia, I would love to track down the Nintendo 64 version and play that. I've never had that one.
Oh, wait, who does?
I've got it.
There's a fan that does a voice, and it's not Mouth, is it? It's someone else.
No, his screen name was Ravestrike.
Ravestrike, yes.
He was also doing the reproduction stickers back when back when that was a new thing.
Before Delta Star?
They might have been around the same time.
Around the Toy Fair outrage about it?
That's very possible. In fact, this is one of our discussion topics a little later in the show.
Yeah, let's save it.
but yeah, he voiced Windrazor in the PlayStation version of Transmetals.
Huh.
I probably would have done a better job, all considered.
Our pals at Moonbase 2, they interviewed Michael Bell this week, and he revealed that he has auditioned for the voice of Ratchet and Prowl for the new Transformer series, as well as, was it General Hawk for the new G.I. Joe series?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We should be interviewing Chris McFeely this weekend, and we'll have that on the show next week, and we'll talk to him about it to see what he thinks about this. So, but that's big news, but, you know, it's, you know, we knew a new show was coming, and we knew it was fairly imminent, but...
But this is our first, like, concrete information of the development process being underway.
You know, Michael Bell said he did not get the part. Is that correct?
Yeah.
That's my understanding.
The thing that sucks is he also didn't get the part of the parquet butter jar or bowl, and he was that voice for years. So he's just not, you know, having any luck.
That was him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's just not having any luck reprising any of these old roles of his.
He was in Kiss Phantom of the Park.
Phantom of the Park?
Yeah, he voiced Ace Frehley when he was too drunk to do his lines.
That's great. Okay, let's go ahead and jump to this day in Transformers history. JD, please.
Yes. So, December 13th, 2002... That would give a little tie-in to the Gary Chalk interview. Armada episode Overmatch premiered. Episode of note for the introduction of Scavenger, which started part of the motif that continued through in the universe, or in the Unicron trilogy, with a character of questionable origin, and that, where it was sort of, it appeared to be a Decepticon, and not really, so anyway. But also, I don't know, I thought the episode was interesting, because he had the big cloak. I thought it was cool. But anyway.
Giant robot cloak.
Yes, giant
robot. That makes so much sense.
Doesn't
it? He was cold, he wanted a Snuggie.
He had the Transformer Snuggie.
Yes, that.
I really want that. I don't know.
Me too. Yeah. I want to smoke a pipe by the fireplace while wearing it.
You guys know where, if I bought the Transformers Snuggie, where I would buy it from, don't you?
Big Bad Toy Store.
Big Bad Toy Store.
Yeah.
Is there anywhere else?
No, there's nowhere else. They have in the Hinkay Transformers Generations 2009 Volume 2 Ghost Starscream. Yeah, it's a clear repaint. And,
hooray.
You know, hooray, but it's actually, it looks pretty good.
It's better than the G1 reissue version Ghost Starscream, because it doesn't have giant die-cast chest.
Yeah, exactly.
Metal is hard to make transparent.
The classic /
aluminum?
Yeah, transparent aluminum, exactly. Hello, computer. Henkei / Classics molds are so much better than the G1 molds.
They're still kind of weak compared to other Classics toys.
Yeah, but
it's a nice symmetry thing.
Yeah. But, you know, they have it for sale. Of course, it's $89, but, you know, the rarity of that toy, I think, justifies that. And that's, I think that's a bargain. So go ahead and look at that. They also have in, for the people, for those who have everything, device label, those are now in. They have the Transforming Laser Mouse, Grimlock, and Trypticon, as well as the, and this is the one I really want, the flash drive of Ravage. I mean,
yes.
The modern equivalent of cassettes, microcassettes, you know, or flash drives.
Yeah. Or MP3 players.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, it's the same thing. They're all flash-based data. Nobody uses hard drives. Nobody uses cassettes anymore.
I'd love a big solid-state drive.
Exactly. Big Bad Toy Store, unfortunately, doesn't have that, but you can check Newegg.com.
Yeah. Well, maybe a later device label entry will be a solid state drive, and then Big Bad Toy Store can carry it, and we can all buy it from them.
That would be great.
You know, I just had an epiphany for our listeners out there that maybe they should go to Big Bad Toy Store, because the end of fiscal years is rolling around, and they know they're going to have to spend that money on office supplies. Hello.
Genius.
Hello. You need a mouse? I'd like the Trypticon one myself. The Grimlock. I've had enough of Grimlock. I'll get a Trypticon. And, you know,
I like the Trypticon thing better when it was Dinobot.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just Grimlock mouse. What? No, it just doesn't roll with me. Like Trypticon. Ooh, purple, evil. It's a mouse. It's supposed to be a little dark looking.
Exactly.
They'll get Cheeto bits on it. You know.
Mine is covered.
If they put out the blaster, you need a new hub for your printer and your scanner. I mean, your office needs.
Didn't they cancel that blaster?
It's in prototype. It's done. They could just bring it out of mothballs.
It eventually will.
Yeah, but Takara doesn't do that kind of stuff. They just make money.
Yeah, but Tomy likes to make money. So I think Tomy would probably be like, put it out now.
That sounded more like Arnold Schwarzenegger than Japanese.
Put it out now! Okay? Put your blaster out!
Yeah.
For pre-order, they have Encore Set number 19, Cassette Big Mission 3, and for me, Overkill.
Which cassettes are in that set?
Overkill, Ravage, Rumble, and Frenzy, and is that Laserbeak?
Laserbeak.
So,
oh, there's five of them in. I thought it was a set of four.
No, it's four. No, it's Frenzy and Rumble.
Yeah.
Overkill.
Wasn't Overkill a combiner?
No. Overkill's a dino cassette. He's actually my favorite.
Okay, then what am I thinking of then?
Oh, you're thinking of Beast Box and Squawk Talk.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Love the monkey.
Yeah.
Love it.
I wish did they reissue those? I mean, I have them, but did they reissue them?
I think those are the only ones they have not reissued as of yet.
Yeah.
Were the
time.
Cassette
yeah.
combiners.
Combiners.
Grand
yeah.
Slam and Rain Dance also,
yeah.
right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Those were the
I've got a Rain Dance. I picked up at a garage sale for a dime.
You got a deal.
That was in like 1992.
You got a good deal then. It was pretty brand new.
Yeah.
Also, for pre-order, they have Dark Skyfire, and that's an exclusive. It's $95. It's kind of cool looking.
It's a nice looking black repaint.
It's
at least
pretty.
It's got other colors and teal.
No, I think it's pretty good looking.
Yeah, it looks good.
It's green, purple, and gray. I think those go well together. It's not just black.
Yeah. He's got enough purple too.
The name's a little unimaginative.
Yeah, Dark Skyfire.
It's another guy.
Yeah.
Hey, Skyfire, who's over there? Watch out, it's Evil Skyfire. Hi, I'm Evil Skyfire. Don't shoot at me. Which one is who? I don't know. Shoot the black guy. Oh, now you're going to be racist, huh? It's so...
So now you're saying that Jetfire is a white supremacist?
Exactly.
So let's rein this in and close it out with our third reorder, which is Mighty Mugs exclusive Wave 4, and that, of course, includes Shockwave. And Shockwave is the coolest Mighty Mug ever, the cutest Transformer ever, and I think it's pretty awesome. And we want to thank our friends at Big Bad Toy Store for sponsoring RFC. Let's go ahead and jump to our buddy Turin as he does the news from Cybertron.
Autobot scientists Wheeljack and Perceptor have made some breakthroughs today in understanding robotic neural development disorders. It appears infusing Energon with phlebotinum has an antidepressant and antipsychotic effect on patients. While not a cure, it is hoped to help in managing some of the effects of the disorders. This comes as welcome news to the Dinobots, who, of course, have long been diagnosed with robotism.
So, if you go to tfradio.net, please do, because I spent forever writing this thing. We did a holiday buying guide 2009. See, back in the day when we did RFC originally, we did this because it was good content. But now there's more Transformers. Back then there was hardly anything. So it's like, yeah, you should buy this toy. This toy's good. And, you know, you should buy that toy. That toy's good. But now there's so much, you know, to buy. You have to cut through all the crap. So we've put together a holiday 2009 buying guide. And, of course, we in doing that, we wanted to make sure that we picked out toys that were, A, good, and, B, affordable. So when possible, we tried to, you know, find the best deal for you. So if you go to tfradio.net, you'll see several items that we've listed. And the first is, am I the only person who picked this up, the Masterpiece Skywarp? It's about $50. I mean, that's a good deal.
I'm probably waiting until January on this one.
I would need a Masterpiece set of steps and a Masterpiece something for him to be pushing down them before I'm interested in Masterpiece Skywarp.
I have no idea where that's going.
So, it's going to be one Masterpiece murder scenario.
Oh, it's just a prank.
Masterpiece.
But
Brian, yes. did you have this mold before this, or is this your first one?
No. I played with it back at BotCon 06 or 07 around the time when it first came out when it was Starscream. But I have never actually owned this mold.
And what do you think?
It's under the Christmas tree right now, but I did.
Oh, okay, that's right.
So I'm excited about, you know, having it. So the first show of January, which I think is January 6th, I'll tell you guys what I thought about it. So, but if you know, I could actually tell everybody what I think about Gradian right now from Diver. That's the most recent toy that I've opened. I actually kind of want to hook this thing up to the TV and play it. I wish Transformers now, well, this was Web Diver, but I wish Transformers would have the whole video game thing going on. But
how Dragon Galleon thing you got too?
I didn't get Galleon. I wanted,
you didn't get it?
No, they never.
I thought you told me you did.
I emailed customer service and said, "Hey, I accidentally completed this order before I meant to add this item. Could you add this to my order?" And they have never emailed me back, but they did ship it. So, you know, I'll live. If it, you know, hopefully the price on it will drop even more to like $8. But
Dragon Pirate Ship is like the best thing ever.
Yeah.
Just from a conceptual standpoint, I understand it's a lousy toy, but it's still a Dragon Pirate Ship.
And that would be for the fan who has everything. Let's get... That was the worst segue that I could have done. I am professional, but I am off my game today. So on the holiday buying guide, we listed several items. We also broke it down by who the purchase would be best for. For example, Skywarp, we listed as he would be great for the G1 fan. And by G1, I mean G-E-E-W-U-N, the people who, you know, remember Transformers being great. That, you know, like if you work with somebody well enough you're willing to blow $50 on, but if you work with someone who has like Transformers posters and crap on their wall, more likely than not they're a G1 fan. So Skywarp would be a great choice for that. Also, we have Leader Class Optimus Prime from Revenge of the Fallen. I don't remember who it was, but they said that at other times, this toy would have been made of metal and sold as a Masterpiece toy. I mean, it's one of the better toys from, or it's probably the best toy from Revenge of the Fallen.
I definitely want it. And apparently it comes with Camshaft in some stores now, too.
Yes, yeah, that's yes. True.
Hmm. What value?
Yeah, it's great value. Well,
it's a Happy Meal toy for $35. Come on.
Yeah. Allspark Almanac. We've said plenty about Allspark Almanac, but I mean, it's the most lovingly crafted Transformers source book ever.
I can't stop buying that.
It's great. Buy it, dude. I mean, it's $15.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Every time you crack it open, you'll be stuck for at least an hour thumbing through it. Yeah. Not even reading, just thumbing through it like, oh, neat. Oh, neat. And then you'll do the little flip book at the bottom and go, wow, every time.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to say that if I wrote a Transformers source book, it would be the AllSpark Almanac. But no, it's way more awesome than anything I could have put together. Jim and Bill have done a great job. And back in the September show, if you want to know more, you can listen to our interview with Jim Sorensen. He talks about from conception to production of the AllSpark Almanac, and it's good listening. But yeah, buy it. I mean, who cares if you like animated or not? Pick it up. You'll like it. I promise you.
You know, Brian, maybe you should write like the TFG One Forever Almanac.
yeah, maybe I could. And of course, I mean, that's for everybody. I mean, even a kid can enjoy the AllSpark Almanac, even the young fan. I guess we're running through this. Number four, and this is in no specific order because this is not one that I would personally buy myself because I don't need it. But the Transformers G1, the complete series, it's $110, and that runs through all three series plus Rebirth. That's a fairly good deal. And if you want it on DVD, I mean, your choice is either this or buy the Rhino DVDs on eBay, and you're going to spend a lot more the Rhino DVDs. And
I bought them when they came out, and it was more than this.
Yes, I did too.
Yeah.
If I'm not wrong, I think I sold the Rhino DVDs for close to $600.
Wow. Really? Wow.
Yeah.
I think I might, because I'm having a little buyer's remorse wishing I have this set instead. Just
yeah,
because...
and this set's better.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a bunch of problems with the Rhino DVDs?
They added sound effects. The Rhino DVDs. Yeah. Now, I mean,
the box is unwieldy.
Now, they did go back, and they did put a lot of effort into it. Like, our buddy Zobivor helped out in the design of a lot of the stuff, and he would go in and fix errors for them. But all in all, the new set, is it Shout Factory? Is that who did the set?
Yeah,
I believe so, yeah.
It's supposed to be much better. I mean, I already have the episodes otherwise, but, you know, this is the cheapest you're going to get to Transformers TV series, this side of uTorrent. So
for legal.
If you want it for legal, we already talked about the device label toys, but I mean, who doesn't really want a thumb drive that turns into Ravage? I think that's pretty cool.
It just
sense. I kind of don't, but you know, I mean, if it had more memory in it,
I'm not going to use the thing.
I want to be able to use the thing.
It's the novelty.
Yeah, it's like a transforming watch. I mean,
if I'm going to pay $45 for a 2 gigabyte USB drive that I'm never going to use as a USB drive, that just becomes a much sadder purchase for me.
Did you pick up music label like Soundwave or Sound Blaster?
Never found one at a good price.
You can find one. I think Bantha Trader has it for like $40 on eBay.
Wow. Yeah. The blue one or the white one?
The black one.
Sound Blaster. Don't want the black one. I want the blue one.
See, I would rather have Sound Blaster, but it's like $40. I'm looking at it. I don't know that I would actually.
Yeah,
use
I know you want player. New Soundwave.
Yeah, that's.
I don't think you have to specify to anybody that you want new Soundwave.
I do kind of have a fixation, don't I?
What's the name of the other show we do again?
Yeah, new Soundwave. Okay, Mighty Mug Shockwave. Mighty Mug Shockwave is the cutest Transformers ever. Cuter than the world's smallest Transformers. Cuter than Stampy. Cuter than Robot Heroes. Cuter than a baby holding a bunny. He's awesome.
What about a baby that has a blaster for a left hand?
That would be scary. let's see here. Electrostatic Soundwave for obvious reasons.
No, that's new Soundwave, remember?
Exactly. Yep. Target exclusive Leo Prime. The caveat is it's not the best toy in the world.
You can say that again.
Yeah, it's not the...
But well, I understand it's a little bit better toy when you ignore the fact that it turns into a gimpy little arm.
Yes, if you ignore that, yeah.
Right.
It's a much better toy than the real Lyo Convoy toy.
The Lyo Convoy toy itself is not that great, but, you know,
yeah.
I've had a lot of fun with that toy just holding it and saying, Konnichiwa.
it's a peek into Brian's mind.
Yeah, basically. So I wrote a fanfic years ago.
You write a fanfic for everything.
Yeah, basically. And it basically had Lyo Convoy popping up randomly saying Konnichiwa. And this is a better toy than Lyo Convoy. So if you want Lio Convoy and you don't want to spend the $40 or $50 he costs on eBay, get this instead.
If you got the little Legends Lio Prime from the first time Classics was around and you like that a lot, here's your chance for the full size equivalent.
Exactly. For $11 at Walmart, you can get many of the older Ultra Universe toys. But of course, the one to buy is Onslaught.
Yes.
Yes.
I love that toy. Even if it didn't say Monzo's name on it, I would still love that toy.
I never thought I'd love an Onslaught toy as much as I did this one.
I mean, he does a great job of capturing the look of Onslaught. It's fairly faithful to the original character. It's electronic, and the electronics don't interfere with the toy itself. I mean,
they also don't work right in half the toys.
Really?
Yeah.
You mean Onslaught or Transformers?
Onslaught.
Oh, mine works great.
Huh.
But you know, for $11, who cares? I mean,
yeah.
Onslaught was an early favorite of mine from Universe.
Yeah, I absolutely love that toy. It's one of my favorite Transformers ever.
It's just a great mold.
It's a great mold. It's posable. It looks good.
Fun transformation too.
Yeah. Buy five of them, give them out to kids. Toys for Tots.
Hmm.
I did Toys for Tots today.
Really? What did you give?
You're a saint.
Well, I'm a saint considering my money situation. I still give to people. But I'd be quite honest with you, I did cheap it out. I went to Family Dollar and spent like $40 on toys. Like odd Barbie dolls for the girls and some knockoff robots for the boys. And then I went and got some soup kitchen stuff to donate to the Cancer Hope or whatever.
Hmm.
You're a saint.
What a guy.
Yeah.
I don't know how I'm going to pay my power bill, but, you know, some kid's going to have an insect robot.
See, the last time I gave toys, insect robot, awesome. The last time I did it, I ended up giving, like, Combaticons desert set from Universe, the one that didn't sell at Walmart. Mm-hmm.
There was like five that didn't sell at Walmart.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, the set that was the not desert, but the Arctic set, I always wanted that. I only saw it once.
That was a good one.
I regret
that was
not picking
that one up.
That was a pretty sweet set. Yeah, I regret not picking it up. Let's see here. What else? Transformers Reissue, Perceptor, and the Insecticons. And like I point out in the guide, I am as jaded as anybody on Earth. But I still like these toys. $35 for each is a little steep, but if you consider the price you'd be paying if you bought them, you know, the Takara versions, I mean, it's a deal.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention, Perceptor is a much better toy if you've never, you know, held one in your hand. He's like,
yeah.
You grab him, you're like,
oh, yeah.
Wow, this is a much better toy than I gave it credit for.
Yeah, I mean, as a kid, I always wanted it because it looked really cool. I was like, ooh, he's also a, you know, a microscope. But
and kind of a tank.
Yeah, kind of a tank. Supposed to be a tank. But he's not a bad toy at all. He looks good. As far as the Insecticons go, Kickback is one of my favorite Transformers ever. I love Kickback. Mm-hmm. It's a great toy.
And it's not a bad deal, the three of them for $35.
No. Not at all.
Yeah,
no.
I mean, $11, you know, what is it, $12 each or something? I mean,
yeah.
Less than that.
So, I mean, you know, that's worth picking up. Number 11, Transformers Collectors Club membership. It's $40. I mean, why not?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
it's a good deal.
If you're going to go to BotCon, you would be stupid not to sign up. You save the money. Yeah, I mean, you save the money.
Yeah, that alone.
Membership. Yeah.
Plus that and the free toy.
Yeah.
Come
the
on.
Magazine. And
yeah.
The
new,
fun.
Well,
or
the new
free toy doesn't look that appealing. So maybe that's just me.
Yeah, you win some, you lose some. Yeah.
The new auction site they're doing. You guys seen that?
Oh, I've heard about it.
Yeah, they're getting rid of the Master Collector newspaper, which you'd get every month normally.
Yeah.
And Master Collector is going to be like an online auction site. And being in a club, you get free use of it, so you don't have auction fees or anything.
That's awesome.
Exactly.
Nice.
And like eBay where you're like, okay, who's going to bid on this? You know, no one but another Transformers fan wants a bludgeon. Put it up on this thing. There's going to be fans and collectors. Nothing but other some guy Transformers. Who's the Skeletor?
Okay, number 12, and this is where the list really gets G1 heavy. And I am a G1 fan. That's where I started out. Overall, I am a fan of Transformers, but I do have to admit my list is G1 heavy. And number 12, Encore Metroplex. Metroplex is my most favorite Transformer ever. I really can't justify that, but it's just one of those things. I really love that toy. There's a lot of play value, and you get three Transformers, sort of.
Technically, yes.
I mean, you get Six Gun, you get, what's his name? Oh, it's escaped me. I couldn't stump Monzo.
you're stumping yourself right now.
Yeah.
Wiki it.
Yeah, but you get Metroplex, Six Gun, and the little scout guy. I can't.
Another guy.
Yeah.
Not to mention, you put aerial bots and stuff like that on them, too.
Rocket?
Yeah.
That was.
No, that's Fort Max.
That's Fort Max. And
the only thing keeping
me in Metroplex, you can attach stuff to his shins and his shoulders.
No. Yeah. Sprocket, JD mentioned. It's not important, but I love that toy. He's great.
Yeah.
And it's worth $90. Now, I really wished that Takara, when they reissued this mold head, did a repaint as Metro Titan, because I've always wanted that.
Totally.
Yeah.
And,
fantastic.
Just be sure to buy Encore Metroplex from Big Bad Toy Store or another reputable place, because there has been quite a few very genuine looking knockoffs of the reissue Metroplex going around.
Yes, definitely. Big Bad
Toy
Store.
So just kind of watch out for where you buy that from.
Yeah, seriously, go to tfradio.net, and if you're reading this from our feed, I'll provide a link. But go to tfradio.net. Just follow that. This isn't like an ad partner or anything. Just click on the link, because it'll be the genuine deal. Encore Bruticus, and I just used the description that John gave. Sure, we've had tons of this mold, but it's G1 Bruticus in fancy / gibberish Japanese packaging. This has been like a very anti-Japanese episode of RSC. We apologize.
No. We love Japanese packaging.
We love our neighbors from the East.
Yes,
we love,
it's fun and crazy.
Yeah, if it wasn't for the Japanese, we wouldn't have Transformers, so we love you very much. Or sushi. I love sushi.
We love you long time.
I like Godzilla a lot. But you know what? I don't like Pocky as much as some people. So.
We were talking earlier. Why would you want to go to a hobby shop or a comic shop and pay $5 for a box of Pocky when you can go to Walmart and pay $1 for it?
Yeah, not the hard to find
like
Pockies.
Pocky.
Not the hard to find Pockies, like the almond one or banana one. The chocolate one, that's 98 cents.
My favorite that I've had was men's Pocky, which...
Men's Pocky.
Did they have women's Pocky?
I don't know, but the men's Pocky, you was using dark chocolate, and it was a little more bitter, so...
Oh, it was tougher.
Yeah.
Unfiltered,
yeah.
The banana one's really good.
I've not had the banana.
So here's my question.
Yes, sir.
Does anybody actually need an Encore Bruticus when there are infinite flavors of it as, Walmart exclusives from years past and such?
But, this is a list if you're trying to buy a new item that's available right now.
This is why someone wants the original Bruticus versus Ruination or Baldigus or Walgreens $5 special.
Yeah.
And this is the one specific reason. If you do not hand them Bruticus and G1 colors, dude, ruined forever, not the real G1. You get that guy who loved the G1 people, and there's a lot of them, and not just G1 people, some people who just only casually like Transformers, but that means only the original guys, and the people who are spending $5 on a box of Pocky, you hand them this one for Christmas.
Exactly.
Someone like us who were like, oh, crap, it's not even Battle Gaia. No, but the guy's going to be like, oh, wow, I remember this guy. It's Superior.
ignoring the rarity and the fact that Battle Gaia would be expensive, I don't really want a new Bruticus mold, but if someone gave me or if they reissued Battle Gaia, I would be on it in a heartbeat.
But you also got to admit, how many people would buy Battle Gaia versus Bruticus in the whole range outside of nerd guys?
True. Very
few. Five.
Yeah,
so it works out for them.
As far as repaints go, number 14, Encore, City Guardian. Okay,
at least that one's pretty.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah,
I think it's interesting. Like, I think it's interesting looking. Pretty, maybe.
I really like that shade of blue.
But here's the thing, and I hate to make fun of G1 fans, but I am one. I am one.
Yeah,
but, the people who are fans who are only casual fans, buy this for them, and I guarantee you half of them will swear that they had it as a kid. So,
yeah. Yep.
I was just watching some of my G1 box sets the other day. Good old Rhino. and what was it, Wardon or something with the Guardian robots?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was just watching this, and I'm like looking and going, oh, yeah, Guardians. You know, because, I mean, it was just, it's a good color scheme. And, you know, just face it, they were on the cartoon more than Omega Supreme, I think.
Almost, maybe.
Yeah, he was just there. Hey, you guys want to ride? Okay, I'll see you guys later.
These guys replaced Jetfire, or Skyfire, I mean, in that role.
Oh, big roll. High on Skyfire. Shot on the ground. Bye, guys.
If they had to go to space, they went to Omega Supreme. If they had to go to, like, Cuba, they would, somewhere, they would get...
you guys catch that episode where he totally...
Well, I don't know. They took Omega Supreme to Japan that one time.
Well, at this point, Jetfire, okay, he's been shot once. Ironhide gets shot. He shoots himself, and he can do stuff. Hello?
Tough crowd.
Well, we made the Barry Skyfire in the ice joke last week.
I'm just, Skyfire's so damn useless.
Yeah, basically.
Omega Supreme's like, I'm going to punch Devastator now. See you guys.
Skyfire's like, I'm going to go mix some chemicals and be a scientist over here. So
he's a plane. He's shot once, and he's on the ground. Yeah. Ironhide like runs into the wall every day, and he's fine.
I'm going to go fall asleep on this glacier over here. Somebody dig me out later, please.
People just like him because he looks cool. End of story.
End of story.
Yeah. Omega or Skyfire?
Skyfire. Omega's like useful.
Yeah. Okay. speaking of useful, we have Encore Skylynx. Skylynx does everything exquisitely except for Cell, because our friends at Big Bad Toy Store have this on clearance for $45. That is a steal.
You're not going to get G1 Skylynx at that price unless he has broken ankles.
Yeah. I mean,
I bet nobody even wants to steal Encore Skylynx.
I mean, no, Encore Skylynx is a good toy. I like Skylynx.
Yeah, he's great.
He's
very cool on a bookshelf. It's like, wow, look at that.
And, you know, he's one of the G1 toys that, you know, not everyone had. I never saw a Skylynx as a kid. Not one. I don't even remember seeing it on the shelf. But Skylynx, I mean, he's one of my favorite characters just because of, you know, he's Skylynx. And
he replaced Omega Supreme.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who replaced Skyfire.
And he never once fell down from one shot.
Yeah. And he was there when Optimus Prime returned, so...
And if you're a fan of the comics, he was involved with the whole Cosmic Hitchhikers thing.
Yes.
And if you really want to just put it in specifics, it's the really big box. And when you give somebody a present in a really big box, they are so freaking excited.
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
And this time it's not a sweater.
Until they open it.
Yeah, but it's not a sweater. It's like, oh, a Skylynx. Wow. I was expecting a sweater.
Is that a lizard space shuttle? What is this? Thank you very much.
You know, you have the light transformers. They're going to stop and say, what the hell did you just give me? Wow.
Okay, number 16, last one, 25th anniversary Soundwave. Hasbro Toy Shop has it for $50. That's less than I paid for it. He comes with Rat Bat. That's all you need to know. He comes with Laserbeak, Buzzsaw, Ravage, and Rat Bat. And he has a cool purple door.
Buy this set, and you too can start your own car wash of doom.
Yes.
And you know what? If you bought this, it would be your new Soundwave.
Yeah. Until you buy another Soundwave, then it would be the old Soundwave.
I have some.
Okay, so let's go ahead and what do we have up next, guys? Stunt Monzo. Okay, let me go ahead. This is a pre-recorded Stunt Monzo. They're all pre-recorded. But I have in my left hand, which you cannot see, Electrostatic Soundwave from Transformers Animated, also known as New Soundwave. So
wow.
You can win Electrostatic Soundwave. You're disqualified. But the listeners,
you can win if you dare.
Oh no. You can win Electrostatic Soundwave if you stump Monzo. If you're the first person to stump Monzo by January 6th. Now the stipulations are, the question has to be good. I mean, you know, I don't care to hear Monzo figure out how many times Megatron retreated at the end of an episode. That's not a good question. It's not something we can easily verify. We have to know the answer to the question ourselves, and we have to have verified the answer to the question prior to us asking Monzo. So the question has to be good, and we have to be able to verify it. That's basically it. If it meets those requirements, we will put it up to Monzo, and like normal, we are the judges of whether or not Monzo has been stumped. And I have yet to see Monzo stumped. And let's see. Let's go ahead and jump to our Stump Monzo for this week and see if Monzo has been stumped. I don't think he will be. Jaxus wanted to know, what are the first and last episode titles of Robots in Disguise?
Battle Protocol and The Final Battle.
There you go. Boom. Awesome. So, again, this week, Monzo was not stumped. Can you stump Monzo? I doubt it. Email stumpmonzo@tfradio.net. stumpmonzo@tfradio.net. Like I said, the question has to be good, has to be worth listening to, and the answer has to be verifiable by us before asking Monzo. That's it. If you're the first person to do it by January 6th, you'll win Electrostatic, also known as New Soundwave. Let's go ahead.
But more importantly, it's Ratbat.
Yes, Ratbat is pretty awesome. And, you know, there were two Electrostatic Soundwaves at the Toys R Us I was at, and one of them, the Ratbat, was broken. And, yes.
Aww.
So that was such a waste. But this one is pristine. Ratbat is perfect, and he can be yours if you stump Monzo. Stump Monzo at tfradio.net. Let's go ahead and
There's also Twitter.
Yeah, no, we're not doing Twitter. I decided that that one's very visible. And, you know, even Monzo could do a search for, you know, at Stump Monzo and know the answer up front. Monzo,
well, thanks for telling me that ahead of time.
Well, you're welcome. Yeah, we decided Monzo does not know the question before we ask it. Monzo does not use the TF Wiki. He is the TF Wiki. He doesn't use Google. He doesn't use anything to answer the question. He uses his brain, just like Batman.
Basically call him right after he finishes Hamburger Helper.
Yeah, pretty much. We call up Monzo after he, on the phone after he eats his Hamburger Helper, and we ask him the question, and he knows it. It's scary. If you can stop
Got
Monzo.
Got me worried.
Yeah. I mean, the question this week that really, I mean, I didn't think he was going to get it, but yeah, who am I kidding? I knew he was going to get it because he's Monzo. So let's go ahead and jump to Gary Chalk. Part two, when XV asks what, and it was so awesome, his response.
Oh, don't spoil it. Spoil the question.
Okay, we spoiled the question last week.
Maybe they didn't listen last week.
Well, if you
ever think of that?
What's wrong with them?
If you didn't, go to tfradio.net and listen. It's awesome. So we'll go to the Gary Chalk interview, and we will be back with a discussion on repro labels.
I was looking over the Internet Movie Database your large body of work therein, and it said you were in the movie I Still Dream of Jeannie, which I haven't seen, but did you get to work with Barbara Eden, and if so, what was she like?
Barbara Eden, what a delightful, wonderful human being. What a lovely woman. She was so sweet and so keen and so energetic and into doing what we did, and we had a ball on that movie. I mean, it's one of those movies that's neither here nor there. It's not a great movie. It's not a bad movie. It's just a TV movie, and it's really fun. And they had the original guy who played Larry Hagman's friend. What was his name?
Bill Daly.
Huh?
Bill Daly?
Bill Daly. And you know what? He is just like the character in real life.
Awesome.
I'm not kidding. He's just like that. He's just like, he's really nice. And Al Waxman, God rest him, he played the general in it, and I had a lot of friends in that movie, and we had a lot of fun. All the genie stuff, it was quite good.
I remember watching that, and I enjoyed it thoroughly. So I can remember fondly watching that movie. I taped it, watched it two or three times. Actually, I was a big fan of I Dream of Jeannie myself growing up.
You know, she's such a delightful lady. She was so nice to hang with. I remember sitting in a car doing a scene. I don't know if you remember the scene where all the tires go flat in the car. And they go, beep, 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 beep. We're trying to chase the bad guys, but she blinks us, you know, she blinks our car into massive failure. And we're sitting in the car driving, and she goes, you know, you look just like my best friend. And I said, what? And he goes, you look, and I went, George Kennedy. And she goes, yes, you look just like George. It's, you sound like him. You look like him. It's it's eerie. It was quite the character.
So, Watchmen.
Yes.
How did you get the role? How did that come about?
Watchmen, I got the part of the general. I went in and read for it on a pre-screen, and Zach called me in for a callback, and I walked in, and it was a table with the three of them, three or four of them sitting at this table, but it was in this big cavernous studio, and there was this table just sitting there in the middle of nowhere. And so I walk in the room, and I go, "Hi, how you doing? Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I'll blow him up." And we chatted for a second. I did the part, and he goes, "Well, you took charge of the room, and no mean feat in this room. Thank you very much. We'll see you." And they hired me. It was a small, not a big role, but a fun role. And I actually got to meet him again for his new movie, Sucker Punch, several months ago. They're just about wrapping up shooting of that movie now, and I read for one of the lead characters in it. Unfortunately, did not get it even after the callback, because it was an Irish priest, and what did they hire? An Irish guy. Damn them!
Man.
Damn them.
I'll have typecasting for you.
Oh, but he's a lovely man, Gerard Plunkett, and he plays the mentor in the movie, and he's a lovely man, and he's very, very Irish, you know, but I'm not, so...
does he sound just like you, like the Spanish guy
does? I think
he
did it better than me, so there you go. Anyway, I really liked the Watchmen. When I saw it, I had no idea what a monster movie it was, technically just a monster. But I've seen the graphic novels, so I get a figure, it's going to be a big production, but I never realized how big until I saw it at the movie theater. And I went, yeah, I'm in this.
Was it pretty meticulous on set? I mean, I've heard that as far as setting up the shots, was it more of a second unit, or was Zack Snyder actually doing the directing?
Oh, no, Zack was doing the directing, yeah. No, he was he's very specific about what he wants and how he wants it to look as far as the framing and everything, because it frames up very close to the book. And this one that's coming up is the same way. I think that's going to be quite a wild ride as well.
Okay, so you've been around fandoms in your career, going to conventions and such, and we know fandoms are made of all kinds of people. So I was wondering, what is your strangest fan experience?
My strangest fan experience? Well, I have two, actually. I have one guy who came up to me wearing a long black leather overcoat with long hair and bad skin and a samurai sword and another short sword. And they came up and he goes, "Mr. Chalk, I'm going to be your bodyguard for the entire convention." I went, "No, it's okay. I don't really need one." "Nope, I'm going to be here." And he assigned himself as my bodyguard for a couple of days. That was pretty strange. The other one, I was sitting in the bar, and there was these two young fellas sitting at the bar. And they said, "Hey, Mr. Chalk." There's another Mr. Chalk. "Hey, Mr. Chalk, how y'all doing?" And I said, "I'm doing good. I'm just taking a little respite from the crowds, and I'm just going to sit here and have a nice quiet drink and relax for a bit." And he says, "How the heck can you stand it being around all these losers?" And I said, "Yeah." And I said, "What are you talking about? They're not losers. They're lovely people." "Oh, come on, man." And I said, "Well, you're here. You're one of them." "Hey, man, I'm no loser." And I said, "What do you mean?" He says, "I'll tell you what, I had sex last night." And I said, "Really?" And he goes, "Yeah, with a real woman." And I went, "Well, that's pretty exciting." And he goes, "Yeah, see that?" And he pulls back his collar, and he's got a hickey on his neck. And I went, "Yeah, you're in the right place, buddy." "So what do you usually have sex with?" So I thought, well, darn it all. But that was pretty funny, pretty strange. But I've met some absolutely wonderful people who I stay in contact with to this day. I'm still in contact with them all the time. And to my mind, fans aren't weird. Fans are fans. And when you go to an anime thing, you go to a BotCon or a GateCon or whatever they are. I mean, there are people who are obsessed. I don't think it's obsessed so much. I think it's they just love what these people do, and they love what the show's about and what it extols. I mean, they come from all different backgrounds, different disciplines. They have different jobs, and professional people and creative people. They do all these things. Their one common bond is their love of whatever, a show or a cartoon series or an art form or whatever it is. And if they want to play dress up for the weekend and hang out with people who feel the same way, why not? You know, there's nothing wrong with it. And I've found that a lot of them just wonderful people.
What other fandoms do you get attention from? Obviously, we're talking to you because of Transformers, but do you get interview requests from other fans?
Requests for Stargate. I'm actually going to England in January for a Stargate convention. And I get calls for other cartoon shows like He-Man and Robots but mostly the fan base is for Transformers because they're fans of anime or animation anyway, but that's one that seems to be a linker. But that's it. I get recognized all the time on the street or on the bus or getting on an airplane and things like that for all the movies and stuff that I've done, but. Yeah, there are the fans. You know, as far as cartoons go, nobody has any idea. But I'll tell you, it's a good laugh when you go up to somebody. I went up to somebody, the guy who created the show Eureka. You know the show Eureka?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've worked on the pilot of that. I did the pilot episode of that, and the creator of that show is a big cartoon fan. He does a I think he does a comic book called Dark Nation or something.
Hmm.
I can't remember, but he found that I was He-Man, and he went, "Oh my God, you're He-Man!" And he said, "Can you sign my He-Man?" And I said, "Sure." So I signed his He-Man action figure. And here's a guy who creates a very successful TV show, but still get all geeky when it comes to cartoons. But that's just the way it is. I mean, I have a lot of people that I admire too. Like I really admire my friend Don Alder, who's the world's best finger pick guitar player, and I see him and talk to him all the time. And I'm a huge fan of. Who am I else not a huge fan of? Oh, I'm a huge fan of, as I said before, Mel Blanc and Dawes Butler. I wish they were still alive. I'd go and see them in a second. I just think they're tremendous. And Frank Welker, Maurice LaMarche, all those guys. Yeah, baby. They're great.
Okay, so some of your voice roles have been associated with cartoons associated with toy lines. Do you have any of the toys from any of the work you've done?
Yep. I got a Bucky O'Hare. I got Popeye, He-Man, Transformers, Mega Man. Who else? Street Fighters. Who else? No, I don't have any Barbies. No. I don't have any Barbies. I did work on there, but I don't have any Barbies. So I got Sonic, and I got... what else? Oh, I got some G.I. Joes, too. Yeah, I got them all.
Go ahead. Oh, well, I was going to ask Gary, you know, speaking of toys, you recorded or they used your voice for some sound clips in one of the Transformer toys a few years back. And so I was going to ask, kind of related to that, is that something that when it comes to something like recording your voice for toys or something related to the show, is that something that's in your contract or do they come back to you later and ask you to do it? And are there some other toys that, you know, you've kind of lent your voice to?
Well, that's a separate contract when you're doing it, voicing for the toys. I've voiced on Transformers. It's the only one I think I've voiced on. I have a friend of mine who swears that I am the voice on The Perfect Man. Used to be a doll that sold in Target and Walmart called The Perfect Man. It was a Perfect Man doll, and you push a button, it would say, "Hi, honey, I think you're wonderful. Gosh, you look terrific today." You know, and she swears it's me, and I don't remember recording it, but she says, "No, it's you. I know it's you. Listen, listen." And I said, "Well, it does sound like me, but I don't think it's me."
Well, maybe it's that guy that does you in Spanish.
Oh, that damn guy. He follows me around. It's like, you know, the evil monkey. No, I love doing that. I think Transformers, what a funny story about that. I was at the park last summer, or this summer, and there was this kid, and he was wearing the Transformers, you know, Optimus head, you know, with the voice, you know, when you push a button, and he would go, "Transformers, transform," you know, all that, and "roll out." And so I heard my voice on the toy, and I'm going, "Hey, that's my voice. It's on the toy. Oh, yeah. Hey, he's got a toy." So I went up beside him, and I said, "Transform, transform, transform, transform." He goes, "Dad, my machine is broken. Transform." And I said, "No, it's just me." And Dad says, "What do you mean, too?" "No, that's me." And he pushes the button, and he goes, "Transform and roll out." And I go, "Transform and roll out." And he goes, "Oh, my God, that's you. Oh, my God. Oh, my God." And then he goes to his kid, and his kid looks at me, and he says, "This is the guy who does the voice in your thing." And the kid looks at me, and he goes, "Oh, Dad, it's not working." I get people that would call me and ask me to wish their kids happy birthday, as you know, they're youngster when they're like 6, 7 years old, and say, "Oh, do your Optimus thing and just say happy birthday." And I called this one kid up, and I said, "Hey there, Holly. Just want to say that your mother thinks you've been a really good boy this year, and I just want to wish you a happy birthday. So this is happy birthday from Optimus Prime." Silence. 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 "Harley, you there?" And he goes, "Yeah." "I just wanted to wish you a happy birthday." And he goes, "Say something." I said, "What?" Say an Optimus thing. I was going, "Maximals, maximize." And he goes, "Oh, what?" then you hear, "Shut up, you guys, I'm talking to Optimus." And then I said, "So anyway, have a happy birthday." And then there was silence, and he goes, "Happy birthday to you too. Bye." It was very funny. You get those every once in a while.
Yeah, don't change your number. I'll call you back in 6 years when my daughter's old enough to be a fan.
The seeds to the future lie buried in the past.
So,
birthday.
So as an actor, did you ever wonder what that meant? Because I don't even know what that means.
I have no idea. Well, of course. I mean, of course I know what it means. Because, you know, it's like the old thing, from little acorns, mighty oaks do grow. You know, from the seeds of the past, or the seeds of the future are buried in the past. So everything that we are the sum of our history. That's what we are.
That's deep.
At least that's what I thought it meant.
how much do you watch the shows that you've done?
I very rarely do. I watch a couple of episodes, maybe two or three, and that's it. The hard part about watching them is I know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And I've already, you know, recorded and rehearsed them so many times that so, and then you do the ADR for the dialogue afterwards. So I see them. And once you've seen a couple of them, you know, you already know what the story's about. You already know what they look like, and the novelty wears off. But I've watched at least all of them. I watch, I mean, one or two of it, of every series or whatever, at least a couple of episodes just to get a feel of it and see how everything is going and how it looks and sounds, and that's good enough for me.
As far as the
live action goes, I'll watch it if it's there, but I won't make a point to watch it. Like I did go and watch Watchmen because I wanted to watch the movie. I watched myself and I go, I don't want to watch this because I'm the most critical person in the world when I'm watching myself on TV. So it's difficult. But, you know, the occasional thing I go and watch, and it's fun.
Does your family watch the stuff that you've done?
I don't know. Do you watch my stuff on TV? Never. She never watches me on TV.
Like a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country, you know.
I know. Never a prophet in your own land. I know it's tough, but I just deal with it, you know. She's so cold-blooded.
It was really awesome that you were in Jason versus Freddy.
I'm sorry? Freddy versus Jason.
Yes, I'm a big horror fan. We've got to
keep this thing contained. We've got to contain this once and for all. If we don't contain this, we are not going to be able to contain it if we don't do something right now. I think I said contain every scene.
When you showed up on screen, I was like, yes, I know him. I've met him once. and a friend of mine is also a Transformers fan. He's like, well, who is that? And I'm like, it's, you know, Gary Chalk. Of course, I said Chalk because I, you know, of course.
Chalk.
You know. But he's like, oh, that's awesome. So, yeah, I remember being very pleased seeing you on screen and also, of course, with The Watchmen. But I think I knew beforehand you were in it.
Oh, it was so fun. I had so much fun on that show. That was Lachlan Monroe with my deputy and meeting Freddy Krueger. He was so cool. And Jason was my friend Ken Kurzinger, who's like 6'4" and a big, tall, monstrous guy. Anyway, but the director of that movie was very, very funny. He said, "No, you come down, and then you see the scary thing come around the corner. You go back, not fast, back, but more cautious back. You come down like that, down the stairs. Yeah, okay, that's good, good, good." And I said, "You know, I say contained in every single scene." And he goes, no, that's good. We make it like a joke. It's funny. It's a joke. And I went, thank you very much. Because I worked with him before in a movie about martial artists, kangaroos.
Yes.
What the hell was it called? Yes.
Warriors of Virtue.
Warriors of Virtue. That's the one.
Ronnie Yu, I believe, right?
Ronnie Yu.
Yes.
I tell you what, he was a character. He would laugh a lot. He'd go, no, you come down. You are scared, but you're not a scare. You're more concerned. He was great. Well, that was really fun working on that.
And we really appreciate your time tonight. It's been a lot to us.
Yes, yes. Thank you so much for taking this time with us tonight.
Yes. Oh, it's my pleasure. Yeah, no worries. I had a great fun and good chatting with you guys. And all the best, and hope things are going well. And hopefully we'll see more of the Transformers in the future to even bigger and better heights.
We would love to see you involved again in some way with the Transformers because I know most of us here, even though we are from the age group that grew up with the original Transformers, most of us really got into the Transformers because of Beast Wars. I was really into it. in the sense that, in the sense of, if I had to throw my time and energy into something, it was Transformers, and it was mostly because Beast Wars is so good. So,
well, I'll tell you what, spending your time and energy on Transformers is a hell of a lot better than spending your time on crack and cocaine and heroin and all the other things that destroy people's lives. One thing that I loved about the Beast Machines, about that Transformers, it was about, even though it was all animals, about the human condition. It showed us, you know, the value of teamwork and the importance of friendship and loyalty and honor. Those things, I think, are very tough commodities to come by in these days, these modern days. And for anyone to have those qualities and attributes makes them not a loser by any stretch. And that's what we always, you know, try to put forward, that sense of humanity, the sense of brotherhood and peace and all the other things that go with the good side, the light side of human nature, we try to espouse and make, you know, I know it sounds kind of corny, but make the world a better place. That's what we want. We all want that. We want to be, you know, in a better world. And I'd rather have somebody being hooked on Transformers than hooked on meth.
I was hooked on meth, too, so, I mean...
My God! No!
Can you say, Transformers, it's better than crack?
Transformers, it's better than crack.
That is so great.
Thank you.
That is fantastic. Thank you.
We'll get sued for that.
That's great.
You're quite welcome.
I used to write Maximize across my knuckles when I was in college. I really tried to add that quote right
Maximize.
There.
Maximize.
Exactly.
Maximize my grade point average.
But I wish I would have had that quote then.
Well, you'd be amazed at how many people, like, one of the strangest things I ever got was a woman who was dealing with her little boy in the hospital who was ill with some kind of disease. Not fatal, I don't think, but it was having a hard time with some kind of surgery, and it was having a hard time getting through it. And it was He-Man who got him through it, of all things. You know, all those things. You know, traveling in time is only make-believe, but we can learn from the past. Going to the doctor is unpleasant, but be brave. And all these things. And this woman had told me at a con that the only reason her son got through it well is because of He-Man. So, hey, that's one.
Thank you again, Mr. Chalk. We really do appreciate that. I mean, we can't tell you how much. What little we've said is really only, you know, a small part. We really do appreciate everything that you've done for us this evening and in your career, because, like I said, we are all huge fans.
Well, thank you so very much.
So, the Gary interview, we really, again, want to thank Gary Chalk for coming on the show. He was just a class act. He was awesome, and that was a blast.
You know, we really should jump to Twitter Theater right now because it ties into the end of the interview.
Yeah, okay, let's go ahead. Twitter Theater for this week was Fallout. I thought we were going to do Beast Wars this week. So I was totally prepared for Beast Wars. Okay, Beast Machines Fallout. That was the Twitter Theater. I obviously didn't check.
I'm sure I told you about it.
I wasn't listening.
Obviously.
Okay, so Fallout.
Yeah.
It was a good game.
I played Fallout 3. I never played Fallout.
I haven't played 3 yet. Let me look up Fallout. I forgot what happened.
Yeah, I don't remember what happened.
I never watched these.
Fallout was the second season premiere for Beast Machines.
Oh, yes. Vladimus Prime.
Yes.
Right. And then okay. Supreme Air Attack Optimus Primal.
This is basically when Beast Machines turned around and went from being sort of mundane and boring to awesome.
It's when it started doing its own story.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about this back a couple months ago when we were observing the 10th anniversary of Beast Machines.
Yeah.
How the whole first season was basically a build up to the second season actually being the story they wanted to tell.
Yeah, season two is just so amazingly great. And, you know, the great thing about it, you look at it on paper, and you're like, okay, this doesn't sound that fantastic. But if you sit down and watch it, it's just so well put together. It's really its own animal, you know, no pun intended. It really separates itself from Beast Machine Season 1, as well as Beast Wars. And Beast Wars is a huge, you know, anchor to break free from, but it really, really set Beast Machines apart from Beast Wars. And it was a Bob Skerr and Marty Eisenberg episode, and it really showed that Bob Skerr was able to really deliver, which we kind of had questions and doubt prior to this episode. But yeah, that was a really good episode. I remember now that was the first appearance of Air Attack, Optimus Prime in Air Attack mode.
No, that was the appearance of Optimus Primal, really hugely giant over everybody else, disproportionately.
Yeah, looking kind of dumb.
Uh-huh.
I always thought you looked kind of dumb in that scene.
What, when he was all giant?
Yeah, maybe it's just because the way he just kind of like, oh, look how big I am now. He's got that look on his face the whole time, like... Oh, the Matrix. Oh, what's going on? I don't know, but I'm so much bigger than you.
But, you know, not to me. What really, Gary, in the end of the interview, talking about Beast Machines and how it relates to the human condition, really got me thinking about this episode of Beast Machines in particular, because it was pretty much the culmination of a whole season of Optimus Primal's character development toward his role as basically the savior of Cybertron.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, for most of the first season, he was doing really badly with that. You know, his motivations were all over the place, and this is where things finally started getting set in motion.
And we also have lots of Superman 3, Clark Kent versus Superman stuff.
What?
Nothing. Never mind. Does no one remember that? The Optimus Primal battling himself?
Yeah.
Oh, that.
Yeah.
He's got red eyes. Does that mean you're evil?
Yeah.
Or toy version, whichever.
Yeah, oh, yeah, well. Whatever, you know.
So, yeah, okay. We got Twitter Theater out of the way this week. I didn't watch it because I thought we were doing Beast Wars. Because I was really wanting to say, there he is, my little guy.
Sorry.
Isn't he cute?
That would have been cutting edge, not Fallout.
I thought we were doing that last week, and we ended up doing an RTM 1 dub episode.
Well,
we
blame Rob Springer for that one.
I'm blaming you for this one.
Well, why don't we interview someone from the RTM 1 dub, and I'll play that episode of Beast
Dude!
Wars?
Find us somebody from the RTM 1 dub, and we will do that.
We have to find the person who did the person that did the voices for the RTM 1 dub.
I'm pretty sure he's the guy. I'm pretty sure he's the guy at the end of my street with a bottle of Cisco begging for change.
Hey,
how's it going? I'm the Ninja Consultant for Decepticons. Yeah.
You have to get him on the show.
I'm going to go around, much like I did Best Buy, and just interview homeless people and have them say lines from Bad Masters. Darn that sail wave.
It's like Bum Fights meets... Headmasters. That's kind of sad.
Oh my god.
Show with a broken bottle.
Fortress Maximus has come himself.
He better get a wash rag and wash himself off. That's kind of bad.
Speaking of, you got $5?
Okay, I'm completely editing this crap out. This
oh
is,
my god.
We've lost this. Let's go ahead and jump to our discussion this week. This came from a thread in the AllSpark that XV found. Do Repro labels, or Reaper labels, however you want to say it, do they lessen the value of a toy? What do you guys think?
Really, I think it does look
higher. How bad do the stickers look beforehand?
Yeah. Depends.
Well, okay. Reaper labels does two things. They do sets that let you restore the original appearance of your toy, and they also do customizing sets that let you make your toy look like something completely different. Now, I think the one definitely does hurt resale value for the toy, but the restoration sets is more of a gray area.
I've seen the restoration sets make something on eBay go for way more than normal sticker, market price for the toy. Mm-hmm. I think it was Jetfire. I think someone had, I think Delta Star had whipped up a special kit for Jetfire, and it went for like 20% more than average, and that really kind of shocked me.
Was it, did the auction explicitly say the labels
yes.
were,
yes.
they did?
Yes.
Oh, well.
Well, here's the thing that gets me. Say like you're buying a classic car. You know not everything on that thing's original. You know there's some reproduction done to bring it back up to par. Why that doesn't lessen the value of, say,
yeah.
the
oh,
old
no.
Camaro.
No, yeah, it really does. I mean, if it's a
it does?
if it's a classic car, people want it to be all original. I mean, it's going to go
right. Reproduction parts really do hurt resale value on old,
really?
Like sports cars and
oh,
that kind
yeah.
of thing.
I didn't know because I mean, really,
car collectors are fanatics beyond anything you can think of.
Oh yeah, they want original.
No,
they want
that.
Original.
They're worse than Hot Wheels collectors.
Go on.
No, I mean, now, you.
I don't think it gets much worse than Hot Wheels collectors.
I was looking. Yeah. I recently did a website for a guy, a local guy who owns a dealership for his consulting company. So I got to hang around his car lot, and they had this beautiful, all original GTO. It was a 1974, I think. Gorgeous. It was all original. It was valued at about $60,000. Now that car, you know, if it didn't have the original engine. If it didn't have the original parts, it would go for about $20,000. But no, the car was beautiful and it was perfect. And the fact that it had all original parts demanded a premium. Yeah, car collectors want original parts. Now, if you're just some kid who wants to drive a really cool-looking fast car, they don't care. But the people who are really serious, yeah, they want original parts.
Well, say that Chevy cross in the front. If it's another one put on, a reproduction of the original, because, say, the original fell off, is anyone going to know or care? I mean, are they that particular?
Oh, yeah, the original paint and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it comes down to ethics. And sure, that's really it, or sure, it's not, doesn't it?
And in some cases, you know, people can tell when it's not original stock parts.
Yeah.
Well, if it's a brown
Jet. It's not all an honesty thing. A lot of times it can be proven one way or the other.
If it's a coffee brown Jetfire and it's got pristine stickers on it, chances are it's a fraud.
Yeah.
If it came from someone who, you know, smokes like 12 packs a day and it's yellow. Yeah.
You know, but if it's a pretty decent, say, a hot rod or something that's in pretty decent shape and he's got Repro labels on it,
it's up to ethics.
Yeah.
If you're buying a 77 Camaro and it's got a new paint job on it, I don't think anybody cares. But if you're selling like, a 57 Thunderbird, more likely than not, the person is going to want all original stuff.
Right. I was just wondering how that would kind of reflect it is because, you know, if you don't have, the original paint on a car that's that old, is it really going to matter that much, like the original stickers on a Bumblebee? How much is that really going to matter to someone who just wants the original Bumblebee?
I think we're sort of mixing we're comparing people who are classic car collectors, like legitimate classic car collectors, people buying loose toys. They wouldn't buy loose toys. They would buy mint and silk box stuff.
I'm just putting something to compare to it for relativity here. You know, exactly how much of a matter does it really make?
So it comes down to what do you want as a collector? Like,
right.
Are you looking for an item that looks like it did out of the box? You're just looking for something that looks like the item, because in that instance then the Repro labels are great, because you can combine that with something like the stuff that DAC does and doing, you know, reconstructed and add the sticker kits. Now you have something that looks like an original. Now, do you put the value in it being the original? If that's the case, then that's where the money is going to be. I mean, the market's going to yield what it's going to yield for whatever it is you're looking for. But as far as cost, I would assume, and again, using the cars as a similar model, but the value is it's going to be more difficult to find an original item with original stickers than it is to get a reconstructed item with the repro labels.
I mean, there's going to be there's a space between where the repro labels are going to either raise the value of an item or decrease the value of an item. If say for example you have a brand new just opened Overlord, but he's missing the stickers, the repro labels, you know, may potentially decrease the value because someone could potentially come across an original Overlord sticker sheet, and that would of course be more desirable than the repro labels would. But if you have like an old broken Ratchet that, you know, so you've fixed, you know, between a couple of toy, you know, between two or three toys, and you've attached, you know, you've put repro labels on it, that's going to probably raise the value. So,
well, yeah, and I think in this case it is sort of a matter of ethics. It's one thing to have your old broken toy that you're restoring, and part of that process is putting a set of repro labels on it because it's prohibitive or just like prohibitively costly or very difficult to get an original sticker sheet. But if you're restoring it and using the repro labels to make it more appealing specifically to sell, then you're kind of crossing a line, I think. You're artificially trying to inflate the value with reproduction elements.
Yeah, but if you're, you know, open that, hey, these are reproduction stickers, that is totally cool. But if you try to pass them off as, you know, original stickers and they're not, I mean, that's a problem anyway.
Right, and I think when it comes down to it, if a buyer knows it's repro labels and it looks just like the originals, I don't think they're generally going to care. If they want something that's completely 100% the original condition, they're probably going to look for something that's in box.
Yeah, exactly.
In any case where it's not absolutely prohibitive to do so.
Yeah, I mean, right. There are certain toys that I want to buy sealed. There's other toys that I don't care.
Well, like, what are you looking that you would buy sealed only?
When I bought Overlord, I specifically wanted it sealed. I wanted to make sure I had all the parts. I wanted to make sure I had the stickers. I didn't want it to... I mean, I have seen a bunch of junky Overlords at BotCon. In fact, mm-hmm. I can't remember the last time I saw a nice Overlord or a sealed Overlord. So when I wanted that toy, I said, this toy has to be bought mint and sealed box. Same thing with Star Convoy. I had to have that toy mint and sealed box. But
yeah.
there are enough, say, Thundercrackers or Skywarps out there that I could probably get a pretty good condition original toy.
Or even piece one together.
Yeah, loose. But where the toy, there's, you know, the likelihood that I'll be able to piece it together is low, I want mint and sealed box.
Right, that makes total sense.
Now, being with that, the, like, say, reissues over years, they've kind of decreased some of the aftermarket value of the original toys. Do you think, say, the reissue stickers might decrease it in that factor or even matter that much? Like, say, hey, I've got a Red Alert with original stickers on here from G1. And they're like, yeah, well, I got 10 of them on clearance.
Well, yeah, and again, it just depends on who's buying it.
Yeah,
that's totally true. But to your point about it decreasing the value, in certain instances like Starscream, oh yes, it decreased the value. But in other instances...
Or like, Skylynx.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I don't know if it decreased the value. It decreased the value of the reissue, but I don't know that the value of the actual toy has dropped. But in some of the more desirable toys or the rarer toys, it really hasn't impacted them. I mean, like Artfire isn't really any... cheaper.
He's not worth anything now, is he?
No, the reissue is not, but the original toy, you're still going to pay quite a bit for it.
Okay.
Because of the just rarity of it. I mean, like Star Convoy, you're still going to pay quite a bit for the toy.
Oh, yeah, they actually made it slightly different for that purpose.
Yeah, but I mean, like Starscream, who is the people who wanted Starscream are, you know, they are happy with the reissue.
Yeah.
Most of the people who wanted like Artfire, they probably want the original toy because the people who really care are the crazy kind of fans who want everything.
Yeah.
So they'll want the original Artfire and the reissue.
Right, and now, I bought Ricochet specifically because I was able to get that deco, that recolor, for $8.
Yeah.
You know? For me, it was kind of a spite thing.
Now, say you sold a loose toy with the repro set unassembled, I mean unattached, then you at least make your $5 back.
Yes. Actually,
okay. You'd be like, here's the repro parts in case you really want them. Now I need to charge a premium price because I'm really doing you a favor as a fan.
Yes.
Hey, people eBay their customs all the time. It could work out.
Actually, XV's right. I said our environment stepper. I'm an idiot.
Yeah, actually.
Yeah. Did they reissue Artfire? I know that they reissued.
No, they didn't.
No.
They reissued Stepper, and they also reissued him in America and caught him ricocheting.
They
should have, though.
I believe Aaron Archer has been quoted as saying that if they get back around to doing more of the commemorative series, I guess past the Insecticons of Perceptor, that Artfire is on the short list.
Yeah, I mean, that would make sense. We got Stepper and Ricochet here.
Now, the real question will be if an American Artfire would also have its target master named Nightstick.
Yeah.
Yes. It's going to be Inferno with a blue cab and a target master thrown in the package. You'll have Inferno's accessories as well. But hey, why does he have a rope? Shut up. Why does he need a target master when his hands are missile launchers? And the answer is, shut up and bite, stupid.
Yeah. Okay, let's see here.
But yeah, I would say that the repro label sets that are made to customize a toy in some way that is not its original sticker deco, that does hurt the resale value overall.
Yeah, because it's only valuable to the person who wanted it that way originally. So.
Right, and I think that repro labels, the normal ones, don't really need to be considered so much in the resale value of a toy, because originally they're supposed to just be for your own restoration.
Yes.
Well, it kind of goes back to my point of saying earlier, like G1 Bludgeon is only worth something to someone who really wants one. You know, the repro labels, would they really affect it to, say, a toy like Bludgeon, who, well, to someone at BotCon, we're going to get in a bidding war over a good shape Bludgeon. But you just put him out at an action figure thing, they're going to be like, what's that, Skeletor?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it really also matters on your audience per se, not just if they want specifically as it was, but yeah, like Thunderwing. Everyone loves Thunderwing inside this fan base. So, I think that's probably in it.
Yeah. Okay, let's go ahead and. Is that it? Is that the show this week?
Yeah. Because we already did Twitter Theater.
Oh, wow. We don't have. Man, you know, last week was like just like a fantastic show, and we like stunk this one up. We apologize. I mean,
oh, this one's gonna sound great. We had it together.
Yeah, this one'll be terrific.
You know, whenever we
had a lot of fun doing this one. That's when the shows always turn out good.
Exactly. You know,
that Thanksgiving episode, that was total crap because we didn't even want to be doing it.
Yeah. when we record the show, it's like, man, this kind of sounds like crap. That's when it's always great. So we know this will be the best show we've ever done. So
yeah, if we're laughing to ourselves between segments.
Yes.
We're doing just fine.
Oh, yeah.
Aside from a few flubs.
Even if it's ironic laughter because we're sucking so bad.
Was it pretty, what, Rob? It pretty sounded good. Aside from a few flubs that need to be edited out, Brian.
Pretty
good, I thought. I mean, we had some good conversation. I mean, they're like...
You mean like the Jetfire, Skyfire race wars?
Race wars!
Okay, so do we have anything? Do we have anything that we want to mention for next week's show?
Nah.
Tune in.
You never know, Rhinox might fart.
It could happen.
There it went.
Every damn week.
Every week, yeah. Tentatively, we'll have.
That was fun for like the first five or six times we did it.
It's like the whole new Soundwave Chris is a racist deal. I mean, that was funny to us for like, you know. For like 2 minutes.
Well, that was funny to me for like 4 months.
It's not funny. It's dead.
You know.
So let's go ahead and wrap the show up. Do we have any plugs or anything?
Big Bad Toy Store.
Yeah, Big Bad Toy Store is awesome. We love you, Big Bad Toy Store. So next week, tentatively, Chris McFeely.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, check us out if you are not listening to us through the web. Check us out at tfradio.net. We're awesome. Check out the buying guide. We have all sorts of things up there. Check out the parody. If you've never listened to the Transformers the Movie parody, it's famous. It's like really famous. People that I've never met or heard of have listened to this thing. It's good. So check it out. Click on Archives.
Especially Part 4. Part 4 is really good.
Yeah, that's the one XV is responsible for. Yeah, Part 4 is okay. Part 3, the one Mott Boy did, though. Darn, that was good. Let's check out our archives. We have episodes going back for over 10 years. What other podcast can say that?
Of course, it's only about 2 years' worth of content.
No, it's more like three. But no other podcast... Shut up, XV. I'm just booting you off the show.
Jeez.
Yeah, but...
Kissing our Wheaties, man.
Yeah. XV, no one likes you.
Oh, like, it's the first time I've ever heard that.
Your parents tell you that.
Son, yeah,
son,
I know.
No one loves you.
I know.
I'm sorry.
We're going to have to pay for his therapy.
Except for a really expensive HDTV.
Yeah, you did. Congratulations on your new HDTV. I am jealous.
If only I had HD programming to watch on it.
I have HD programming, just no HDTV.
Can you see the steroid?
Well, this is kind of like TV of the Magi.
Yeah, it is.
Can you see the steroid pockmarks on Triple H much clearer now?
He's not wrestling.
Okay. To me, that's the benefit. Oh, live TV. Look at that. Zit.
Oh, God. Okay. Tune in next week, tfradio.net. We'll have something. We always have something.
Whether you like it or not.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. tfradio.net.
That is our stamp of quality. Oh, it's always something.
Yeah. Okay. Check us out next week. We will see you all later.
You've been listening to Radio Free Cybertron, the Transformers Internet radio show online since 1999. Visit us online at www.tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Join in the discussion on our Facebook fan page. Search Facebook for Radio Free Cybertron. Also follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Copyright 2009, Radio Free Cybertron. Till all are one.
One what?